Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zimmers, down at the World Headquarters on State Street in Madison. We are on location here on this Tuesday, August 15th, 2023, a very special edition of the Todd Albaugh Show here at Volk Field in central Wisconsin, in beautiful Juneau County, and special guests indeed. We have the Brigadier General of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, David May, and also Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman. He is the State Command Chief. Gentlemen, we are so honored and thrilled to be here. Thanks for staying around after the break. It's just been fun watching these aircraft taking off behind us.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you taking me up on the invite to come up here. We affectionately call this exercise summer camp for fighter pilots because it obviously happens in the summer.
Right.
But in all seriousness, there's a lot of serious training going on here. But that doesn't mean it can't be fun and exciting. It's an amazing time to be at Volk Field.
We are here for a special training exercise called Northern Lightning, I guess, because at night it probably looks like lightning with all the aircraft taking off.
It can. Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about gentlemen. We talked to the break a little bit about a group of folks that were out here just outside the window watching these aircraft take off. These are ROTC folks, primarily from UW-Madison?
That's correct. So it's the detachment down in Madison, and we have a relationship with them. We interact with them on a regular basis, and we invite them out to our bases so that these cadets who will eventually join the Air Force and maybe come to the Air National Guard someday, so they can see what we actually do. What does a base look like? What does a large-scale exercise look like? And our vision of Wisconsin and airmen in Wisconsin is that it doesn't matter whether you're part of the ROTC program, the Air Force Junior ROTC program, the Civil Air Patrol. It's the Wisconsin hometown Air Force, and we try to include all those organizations as much as possible.
We've talked about this before with you, General, but for those people that might have kids or grandkids or young people that might be listening to us or on the podcast later on, if they say that really sounds cool and have interest in joining the Wisconsin Air National Guard, what's the best way to do that?
So get on the interwebs, go to goang.com, and that'll get you to a site where you can eventually click on Wisconsin, fill out a form, and one of our recruiters will give you a call. So short of me giving out my personal cell phone, which I'm always tempted to do because I like to generate leads as well, because I get so excited about the opportunities that we have. Yeah. We have incredible opportunities for young people to get started with their education, their training, whatever it is they want to do in life. They can get a huge jump start with Wisconsin Air National Guard.
And just a great way to also, to your point with ROTC, or you don't have to be an ROTC, but if you're looking to go to college, and the military is a great way to consider to be able to afford college as well.
Absolutely. And we really don't care what you major in. We will get you through basic, obviously, and get you your technical training so that you can come and serve with us. But along the way, you can be a full-time student. We have hundreds of airmen in our organization that are full-time students working on their bachelor's degree, which we're providing the resources for, and paying them along the way for when they show up and do with us. It's a great way to go.
A couple of minutes here before the first break, but we're at Volk Field, and you laid a little history on me in the break. Tell people how Volk Field got named, and a little factoid about that.
Sure. So First Lieutenant Jerome Volk was the first Wisconsin airman to be killed in action in the Korean War. And eventually the legislature changed the name of this base to be named after him, Volk Field Air National Guard Base. We still have an enduring relationship with the Volk family. He has two living nieces, Jerry and Christy. And in fact, they were here just last week visiting the exercise with some of their friends and family as well. And Jerry told me that she listens to your show, and hopefully she's listening this afternoon. So a shout out to Jerry for listening to the show, but it's a really special connection. Our history is important, and understanding how the era when Uncle Jerry, as I refer to him, served to now is super important and also inspiring.
Well, it's an amazing story. We appreciate her listenership as well as everyone's, but I think it's a great point that Wisconsin in particular has a rich military heritage and history of fought in every battle. I mean, I have a relative that fought the Civil War on the Union side, and Wisconsin has done their share to protect democracy and freedom around the world.
Absolutely. And we have a rich history in aviation. You know, the founder of EAA, Paul Poberesny, flew in the Wisconsin Air National Guard.
Really?
You know, people I didn't know that. People like Billy Mitchell from Wisconsin. Some of the early airfields developed in the Midwest were here. And it just, the more you discover, the more you realize there is out there. But Wisconsin is rich in aviation history as well.
And for those that might not have joined us, we were down at Truax. This was your command at one time before he became the big boss of the whole thing. You were the commander here at Volk Field.
I was a commander here for almost 4 years. It was a wonderful assignment. My wife and I just love being here. We love the people, both in the community and the people that live on base. It was just one of the most rewarding assignments that we've had. And we'd get to come out to be part of Northern Lightning every year. And my wife was here last week as well. She said, "You're going to Volk Field for Northern Lightning?" I'm going too.
It's, you know, it's not too bad fishing over at Castle Rock Lake as well.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
That's great. We're going to come back and talk to these gentlemen a little bit more and talk about readiness in terms of what it means here in Wisconsin, but also all across the country. Of course, that's a big issue across Wisconsin. We'll leave the politics aside, but talk about kind of the readiness from the military side of things as well when we come back. And also kind of the overall mission, who else is involved here at Volk Field. We'll be talking to a pilot as well. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kyle Ball Show on location at Volk Field. This is the Civic Media. Bring it back. On location at Volk Field in Juneau County, Wisconsin. This is the Tyler Ball Show, along with Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, back at the world headquarters down on State Street.
Yes, and I have a message from State Street and from our president, Mike Crute, down in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Leaving the area of American Family Field after the president gave a speech, he has not yet left. So the highway is closed. If you're heading east in that area of Milwaukee right now, you better make some different plans because you're not going to get anywhere fast.
That is a great update. We appreciate that, especially for all of our Waukesha listeners. And down in Milwaukee right now, the road again was which? I-43 East?
Yes.
So I-43 East, it's a parking lot right now because the president's in town. What you need, you see, Mr. Zommers, what you need is you need yourself a Black Hawk helicopter because you get around a lot faster. That's if you're General May of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, you don't have to worry about traffic. and these gentlemen, in all seriousness, they did that. We were in Milwaukee welcoming President Biden and came up for this. We still appreciate it and appreciate this opportunity to be here at Volk Field.
Absolutely. I would have felt bad if I would have invited you up here and then no-showed on you.
Well, when you're welcoming the president, General, I mean, you know, come on. I defer to the president any time.
You're in the mix, Todd.
We looked at the calendar the other day, and he's like, well, how are we going to do both? I said, rotary airlift.
There you go. It's it's a lot of planning that goes into these presidential visits. You know, people don't understand the behind the scenes on that either. And
They didn't want to let us take off as early. We had to ask for a special allowance because they locked down the airspace.
All right. But
they were kind enough to let us sneak out the back.
If you have Brigadier General in front of your name, you get a little bit of consideration, maybe.
I don't know. I wasn't the one that asked, so I don't know how that conversation went.
Well, we appreciate being here again. We're here specifically for this great event called Northern Lightning at Volk Field. It is a joint venture between Air National Guard from throughout the United States of America doing actual, is it fair to call it war games, or is that too much of a civilian thing?
No, that's certainly how you could think about it. It's an air war that we fight twice a day, some sort of scenario, and Major Shaver will give you a little more insight on the pilot aspect of that. Yeah. But it's a complex, very challenging air war problem that we present the participants with twice a day.
one of the great things that I always enjoy talking with General is the fact that you're real. You're a real guy. You're in the community, but you speak plainly. And we know that certainly while I'm certainly supportive of the new F-35s in Madison at Truax, and I have the unique opportunity, having worked for a congressman and worked in military affairs, to get kind of an inside glimpse. So I can appreciate, not everybody has that opportunity. And we certainly know that the F-35s have had some controversy associated to it. But I again want you to speak to what you all have done to mitigate that, and what you've done to really address those concerns in the community versus an event like this where you could just let it roar.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the contrast. We are doing absolutely everything possible to mitigate noise on takeoff or landing down in Madison. And I'm sure that some folks are noticing, but we take off and land in the quietest way possible, in the quietest routes available to us. In contrast to what we're doing up here. Up here we're doing full-on realistic military training, but this is also away from major population centers. They expect to hear this kind of flying activity up here. And when the fighter jets down in Madison need to come up here and do some of those maneuvers, they come up here and do it.
Yeah.
They're never going to do them down in Madison. So whether it's a big event like this or whether they're just coming up with a small number of aircraft to do some unit level training, this is what the Volk Field base and airspace complex is for. And that's where always what we're going to use it for.
Chief Master Sergeant Workman, as State Command Chief, is that part of your role in working with the community and kind of being a liaison for communication, or what's your role in that?
Well, I think that all of our leaders take an effort, especially our commanders and chiefs at the fighter wing, right? They're actively involved in the community, trying to get our message out. And we always want to be transparent with everyone, right? Like, right. If people have questions or concerns or issues that come up, we'll always be fair and transparent with them to address them.
And I know there's also been, throughout this entire changeover with the F-35s, there was significant public comment period as well. And you folks listened to that and took a lot of that into consideration, how best to work and integrate with the community.
Absolutely. And that continuing dialogue is critical. And we're all more than happy to continue that dialogue, however it takes place. But as Chief said, we intend to be transparent. And there are some good things that have actually come out of this that people might not know about. So, for example, the F-35 coming to Madison resulted in the fighter wing being the first PFAS or AFFF free Air Force base in the entire Air Force.
Wow.
Because of the upgrades that we needed to do to the hangars to have that aircraft here, we were the first. And there was a media release on that in the past several weeks.
And I'm sorry, didn't mean to
cut off. No, go ahead.
A lot of people have asked me, or some people ask me, is it a complete change? You can say, I thought I saw an F-16 yet. So I know you're changing from F-16s to F-35s. Where is that process, as much as you're allowed to tell us?
So we're still in the process of receiving our new aircraft. We've got six right now. We'll eventually have 20. And that process will still take some time. Our construction is almost finished. We had the opportunity to fly over some of it earlier today, but it's coming along on schedule or ahead of schedule, thanks in large part to our local construction companies who have been amazing partners for us and have worked really hard to keep us, like I said, either on schedule or ahead of schedule.
I want to talk for a second, gentlemen, if we could, about something else that has been in the news. The military, to its great credit, is a nonpartisan entity and has long had that. And you've invited us to your home here at Volk Field, so we're not going to breach that and get into the heavy political side of it. But it's been in the news a lot, and I would like you both to help us, our listeners, understand the impact of what's happening in Congress right now. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville has been holding up, and Matt Flynn, my colleague, at 3 o'clock, does a great job of going through this in greater detail. But one senator in this country has the ability to hold up the promotion of people being appointed or confirmed to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and subsequent other appointments. Without going into the politics, we'll leave that aside for a second. But I'd like you to describe, General, if you would, what that impact has in reality on the men and women who serve, not just across the country, but here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So the challenges with not getting those nominations and confirmations done at the top level really trickles all the way down through the ranks, because I think we're into the hundreds now.
Yeah.
So just like with any organization, when you frustrate the succession plan, which is very deliberate, and of course in the military we do a very good job to vet and decide on who we advance in rank. But having that succession plan essentially disrupted from the very top all the way down even into a state Air National Guard level, where we have officers who are waiting confirmation on eligibility lists to be promoted, and everything in between is held up. And then that trickles down even further. So as you move an organization forward by appointing new leaders, somebody needs to come in behind everybody that moves. So as you can imagine, it's not just the tip of the pyramid. It's eventually perhaps all of the pyramid.
Yeah. And it affects people's, this isn't just some, a general or a major doesn't get a better office. These are people's families who are in limbo.
Absolutely. The active duty officers who will do a permanent change of station and move, in some cases, maybe overseas or across the country, they're regular people like us that have, kids in college or kids in school, or their spouses have professions, or they need to sell a house, buy a house. All those normal things apply to them as well. So to get caught in the middle of that process and then stopped has a huge impact, and in some cases probably a huge financial impact.
Right.
Not to mention the stress on the family.
Yeah, absolutely. In my experience, our military men and women always rise to the challenge, but I think it's hard to ignore the fact that this situation now has gotten to a point where it can affect military readiness.
Certainly, the operation and efficient organization is organizations need to do all the things that they need to do throughout a training year. Yep. Or throughout a budgeting year. Not having the leadership settled in the way it should be only causes turbulence. It just makes things more difficult.
And I've been around for a while, but I've just never seen this before. And I guess there's always, in the military, my experience, there's always a plan for everything. But my gosh, how do you plan for that? It's weird to me.
It is weird. And you look like the acting commandant of the Marine Corps, he's doing what he needs to do. He's doing two jobs, and he hasn't moved his stuff, and he's just doing what he needs to do. And I suspect that's what everybody is doing, understanding that it's just part of their service. It is service before self. And while this is unique, it's the situation that many, many people find themselves in.
Master Sergeant Workman, let me start with you. What's your favorite part of Northern Lightning and being part of this event each and every year?
Well, I would say, getting to show off our talents, right, our aircraft. And then last week when we had all the distinguished visitors and the business leaders in the community actually come out and see it, kind of like what you're getting to experience today, to actually see the benefits and hear it from the pilots themselves. We actually had some of them come up and talk with the business leaders from the community so that they actually fully understand strategically and tactically how this exercise impacts them. And a lot of them are young company grade officers who haven't gotten to experience this type of exercise. So getting to hear that and how they're progressing as pilots, and them using terms like, this is how we would advance on peer adversaries, and we need these for the future fight. Getting to hear that kind of stuff, that's really impactful.
General, about a minute and a half left. Your favorite part of Northern Lightning?
I love going. I love walking around and meeting with all the airmen and service members from other branches that are here, mm-hmm. and just hearing their stories and hearing what this training event means to them, especially the ones that have never been to Wisconsin, so they're discovering a spotted cow and cheese curds and maybe a Brewers game on the weekend.
Right.
But it's that American spirit,
yeah.
of resolve and stepping up to the challenge and making sure that we're getting better to handle whatever the nation needs us to handle. Hopefully that's as a deterrent force, deterrent, yeah. to any action on the part of a peer adversary. Mm. But it's the people. The Jets are awesome. but the people are even more awesome.
I said to you during the break, I said, when I'm around the men and women of our armed forces here at the Air National Guard, when I see these machines, but you're right, the people, I just feel better. Because we hear about all the negative stuff in the news, and of course that's real. But when you look at the men and women who put on this uniform, our country's in great hands.
We invest in our people. We trust our people. We want to see them succeed. I don't believe the Chinese trust the people in their military, and therefore they will operate differently. Our strategic competitive advantage is our people, absolutely.
Could not have said it better. General David May, and also Master Chief Workman, Master Sergeant Workman, I got to get those ranks right. We thank you so much. We're going to talk to more of your service member after the break. Thank you, gentlemen, for letting us be here today. Stay tuned. Up more after this.
I love that picture.
Welcome back to the Almost Show. We are live on location here at Civic Media, on location at Volk Field in Juneau County in central Wisconsin. And we are here for the Northern Lightning event of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. It's been absolutely fabulous blast so far. Started a little late, of course, due to the remarks of President Joe Biden. We were happy to carry those. Of course, our own Mike Crute and Terry Bell down there in Milwaukee bringing you President Biden's remarks. And as it turned out, General May was down there welcoming the president on the tarmac and then got in a Black Hawk helicopter and flew up here. Hell of an entrance by the general in a Black Hawk helicopter. We are joined this segment by Major Tyler Shaver. He is the Volk Field Director of Operations and an F-35 pilot himself. Major, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. We are actually camping out in your office.
Yes, sir, you are.
Thank you for letting us rearrange your office and having this fantastic, our folks viewing it see kind of a glare on the window, but we are literally looking out onto the tarmac as these aircraft take off and land. That's a great view every day for you.
I love coming to work every day. This is what you get.
How long have you been in charge here or the director of field operations?
So I'm pretty new aboard with the Wisconsin Air National Guard. I actually just checked in, sworn to the Air Force last November, on 1 November of last year. So previous to that was 13 years in the Navy, so don't judge me too hard. I found the light at the end of the tunnel. It just took me a little longer than usual.
Now, my youngest godson just started out at Bremerton Naval Air State or Naval Yard out in Bremerton, Washington. So he's a Navy guy.
Oh yeah.
So it's okay.
Oh, and I said okay. Good. I'm in good hands.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about where you're from and kind of your experience in the military, how you ended up here.
Sure. I fell in love with aviation in actually northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin area where I grew up. Got my first airplane ride when I was in third grade and knew this was it. This is what I want to do. So the EAA chapter and enterprise and community really helped me out doing Young Eagles flights and starting to log some of the private pilot time. Got my private pilot's license in high school and then fell in love with Carrier Aviation for some reason and joined the Navy.
Wow,
and then started flying jets after graduating from the Naval Academy in 2009, and flew Hornets, Super Hornets, then got into the F-35, and had the dream of always coming back home and flying jets, so it kind of worked out where F-35s came to Madison, and it was a dream come true.
Absolutely fantastic. We talked to General May about this before, but I'm a Top Gun fan. I saw Top Gun Maverick. I thought it was a great movie, number one, but you're the real deal. I mean, have you seen the movie?
Oh, three times. Yes, sir. I love it. Coming from a guy that flew the Super Hornet, I think it was very well done. And actually, a lot of my buddies out of NAS, Naval Air Station, Lemoore, California, did a bunch of the flying scenes in
really?
That movie. So I can tell you it's the real deal when you see that. And had some flashbacks in the theater and very nostalgic back to flying the Hornet and Super Hornet. So
see, this is fantastic because now we got a real honest to God pilot here who knows what's going on, what's up. So tell us, I think a lot of people have asked me or wondered, when you watch Top Gun Maverick, how close is it to what you actually experience as a pilot? How true to life is it?
Yeah, there's some theatrics to it, I would say, you know, just natural Hollywood. But I will say when they had the fire scene and you can hear the jet talking to the pilot, we call that Bitchin' Betty. I don't know if you can say that on this, but sure. that's what who she was, and she would say engine fire right. They use actual audio, so any of the altitude buzzers that were going off in the jet when they were in out of control flight, those were all true from the aircraft. So kind of seeing that in the theater, I think I saw it in IMAX, and hearing the audio and seeing the jet in out of control flight gave me chills.
Wow, just
kind of some sensory stuff going back. So to feel that, it was pretty real, actually. So they did a good job.
When I'm always interested in, you know, in the movie is portrayed that, you know, whether you want to call it the company, the unit, the squadron, you know, there's this competition. You're all part of the same group, but there's a competition. Do you experience that in your travels and in literally your flights and working with different units? Is there kind of an internal competition who's going to be the best pilot?
There is, but that's kind of goes into where the theatrics happen, because there's a definite line there. They're trying to be the most competitive squadron and the most lethal and do your training by the numbers, but then there's a line. And once you cross that line, then you literally are dangerous, and you're a hazard not only to yourself but to others. And that's in the community. We know where that line is, but in a movie like Top Gun, you don't really see that line. And
more theatrical.
It's a little theatrical.
call signs. I'm always interested in call signs. You've got Maverick. You got Maverick. You got Rooster. Yours is Shaft. Are you able to say is on air worthy?
Unfortunately, I'm not, sir. It's something in our community. You got to buy me a beer, and we set up in my office.
I didn't bring any. All right, I didn't bring any.
Yes,
but at least tell us this: is that something that you choose? Or do people give that to you?
It's given to you. And the more that you fight it and you hate it, the more it sticks.
Really?
So you're better just to take it, and maybe something else will come along. generally, it's the community gives it to you. Your fighter squadron gives it to you. And usually it's on deployment. Usually it's on an aircraft carrier in the Navy. You really don't have a say in it.
Have you landed on an aircraft carrier before?
I have about 250 traps.
Oh, that's all. It's 250 times.
Who's counting? But it gets easier. You remember the first couple of ones, and then somehow you get used to it. But first time seeing the boat at night, you look down from the overhead stack flying over over the ship, and it literally looks like a postage stamp. And you're like, there's no way. And then the next thing you know, you're hanging in your straps, just catching a wire. And you're like, what just happened? And that's pretty much it. And then night is a whole different adventure. Seeing the boat at night was an out-of-body experience. And you feel like you're flying in space. And I'll never forget the first time I saw the boat at night, or what I thought the boat was, or what it looked like.
I can't imagine it. And I think for those of us on the civilian side who just go about our daily lives, it's the men and women like you, the pilots out there, that are doing this incredible stuff. I mean, it's one thing to be a pilot and land on land, you know, on an airfield, but to do it on a boat, to do it on a ship like that, an aircraft carrier, then to do it at night and on seas that not always level.
Yes, sir. And what's amazing is not only what the pilots are doing, but there's 5,000 people on the ship that are also doing a job that is equally as important as me landing aboard the ship. You know, there's guys that are servicing the arresting gear. There's landing signal officers. There's that are keeping you safe, making sure that you're not dangerous behind the ship. Air traffic controllers. A lot of people working together on the flight deck to make the evolution happen.
This might be a goofy question, but is there psychological training? Do you have to meet with a psychologist or somebody to make sure that you're psychologically fit, not just physically and technically fit to be a pilot?
Not that I'm aware of currently, but back in the day, there's so much training that you go through, and that aviation pipeline starts with aviation pre-flight indoctrination, where you go through a bunch of aeronautical classes, weather, classroom kind of type thing, as well as water survival and survival training. And then you get into flying smaller aircraft, and then slowly work your way towards selecting like jet aircraft. But there's many, many wickets that you go through where you're kind of constantly being evaluated by fellow instructor pilots. So that naturally, I think, happens over a progression of training before you ever jump into a $110 million aircraft, you know.
See, I mean, it takes a special person. In all seriousness, I mean, I'm just in awe of you guys, because it takes a special individual to be able to, A, like you say, get into a million, multi-million, $100 million piece of equipment, and then knowing that it's not just you, but it's other lives that you have in your hands, and then landing on something that has 5,000 souls on it. you got to have every faculty up there.
Well, honestly, I can't even fathom how much $110 million is right now. So maybe I'm on that side of the spectrum.
You just don't want to think about it. You don't want to know. So tell us a little bit about, as the Volk Field Director of Operations, what's your day-to-day entail? What sort of men and women are you commanding, and what do you do every day?
Sure. So I'm like the mayor of the airport, if you will. So I own the airfield management, air traffic control, POL, so think fuel guys, munitions, transit alert, guys directing. So if you see airport operations, you know, flying commercially, all of the things that are happening on the ground and the ramp and on the runway, that's pretty much my job. If the snow needs removed off the runway, I order the plows to plow the roads. So kind of just managing the airfield. What's unique about Volk Field is it's Air National Guard owned base. There's no joint use. So down at Madison, there's the fighter wing on the east side, but then there's the commercial side on the left side. So on the west side there. So they have kind of like a joint function where the city maintains a lot of that. Here, we're managing the health of the entire flight line and ramp ourselves.
So a lot of folks, I think people, again, civilians think, oh, Air National Guard, they go and train once a month or what have you. There are full-time people in Wisconsin Air National Guard. I'm assuming there are some here on this base as well.
That's correct. And then we have the capability during exercises like this to bring in the part-time folks to surge and support and facilitate the mission here.
What does this activity, Northern Lightning, what does it mean to you personally and also from a professional point? What's your favorite part of it?
Flying. In the exercise. Right. Actually, so yesterday I got to go up in a Marine F-35B, actually, because I'm rated in all three of the F-35s, just a previous job that I had that allowed me that unique experience to do that. But to manage the troops on the ground, and they're doing a fantastic job, and to give Senior Master Sergeant Wires the keys to the castle, and I go fly and just see everything working and then come back, and it's just an awesome experience. And then to also see the end product that the customer is getting up in the air. Sometimes we get buried down and see the experience through a soda straw, but to see what the customer is getting up in the air and all of our hard work and then coming down and being able to relay to our folks, you know, what the end user is getting and how happy they are with the experience is second to none. So
if you're able to tell us more or less, how many full-time people are based here at Volk Field that are part of the community?
There's a couple hundred folks that are full-time here. I want to say it's a little less than 200.
But it's that drives, we've talked about General May, it's beyond military readiness. It's beyond the military mission. These are people who live in our communities. There's an economic impact to Camp Douglas and Juneau County and central Wisconsin. You know, the military is providing great jobs and economic impact as well.
Absolutely. And with a new F-35 coming in here, more jobs, more money being pumped into the economy, for sure.
It has to make you extraordinarily proud. I said this to General May earlier, but you hear about all the bad news going on in the world, and of course there is, but then it must give you pride to look at the men and women under your command and also just who you work with every day. America's in great hands.
Absolutely. And I don't consider this a real job. I mean, someday I'm going to have to grow up and get a real job, but I haven't had a real job since I worked at Home Depot in high school. You know? And that was a real job.
Those are real jobs.
I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up, to be honest. It's a blessing to come to work every single day and work with some of the hardest working people I've ever known and the most passionate people I've ever known. You very rarely have to ask them to do anything. They're already doing it.
Right. And it's not just, I mean, the pilot is the man or woman who kind of is, you know, the sex symbol, so to speak, of the operation. But it's all those people who work on the aircraft, who do, you know, the maintenance to it, the ground crew. I mean, all those, it's a team effort. Absolutely. To make the pilot be able to do his or her job.
Absolutely. Ask the Russians right now, you know, like the support network that is required for a pilot to go up and put bombs on target is complicated, and it requires a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing. Is there anything I haven't that you'd like to talk about that we haven't talked about so far? The operation here at Volk Field, or anything you're particularly passionate about?
Northern Lightning is a passion, and you're seeing the best of it right here when we have $2.5 billion worth of iron on the ramp.
$2.5 billion.
More firepower in central Wisconsin than many nations. I mean,
wow.
We're comparable to the Israeli Air Force right now.
Really?
Here in Wisconsin.
That's incredible. That blows my mind.
It blows my mind. And
are you able to tell us more or less round numbers? How many aircraft are here over the 2 week time frame?
So there's 24 F-35s. Mm-hmm. So that's 14 jets out of Eglin, and that's F-35A, and roughly about 10 jets out of Yuma, Arizona, with Marine Corps Squadron 211.
Yeah.
So that's about 24 F-35s, and then you have about a dozen F-16s that are out here. So tallied up, you know, about $2.5 billion worth of iron on the ramp here.
Major Tyler Shaft Shaver will let you will go, and Volk Field Director of Operations and a great F-35 pilot, and also kind enough to let us use his fantastic office. We appreciate it, Major. Thank you so much. Right. Congratulations.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Back with more from Volk Field. We are live on location here at the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Major. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here live on location at beautiful Volk Field in Juneau County, catching up with Major Shaver a little bit more. Look at his office here. Beautiful aircraft, both from Navy aircraft, Marine aircraft, Air National Guard. Really fantastic things. And again, it's out here seeing this mission, seeing the great aircraft, but also the great people. And now we're joined by a couple more great people here on our show as we get settled in. How are you folks doing?
Doing well.
Great, fantastic.
Amazing.
I appreciate you guys coming in. I'm sorry, I was talking to the major there instead of doing my job. I'll let you guys both introduce yourselves and we'll go from there.
Hi, I'm Senior Master Sergeant Reed Scott. I am the Northern Lightning Enlisted Coordinator. I work here at Volk Field.
And hello, I am First Sergeant Jacqueline Franck. I am the First Sergeant here for the CRTC at Volk Field.
That's fantastic. I appreciate you coming here. Tell us a little bit about each of yourselves. Are you from Wisconsin? Where did you grow up, and how did you get here?
Yeah, I'll start. I start out, I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, so I Wisconsin born and bred.
Fantastic.
And then at 18, joined the Air Force, was excited to just do something bigger and better. I thought I'd never come back to Wisconsin, so I joined active duty. They actually shipped me all the way to Mildenhall, England, where I worked on KC-135s, C-130s. And then after 4 years, I came back, moved to Milwaukee. Then I moved to Madison, joined the fighter wing in Madison, and then cross-trained in my career field now, which is a controller. I talked to all the aircraft in the air.
Wow.
And I came to Volk Field, so that's been my story.
Very good.
And then I started off as an Army brat. I was actually born in Germany.
Oh, wow.
Due to my dad being in the military. And then we got stationed in Washington State, finally settled down in Wisconsin in a small town, Ontario, Wisconsin. So it's the canoe capital of the world. Nothing really to do out there. And a recruiter came, said, hey, what do you think about this? Pay for your education. I said, absolutely. So sign me up. I joined the Army Guard, did that for 8 years out of Sparta, Wisconsin.
Sure.
And then I was in a transformation phase, and my sister's like, come join the Air Guard. And I'm like, no way. And then I'm like, okay, we'll see what they have to offer. And so I did that, and I'm still here, still going strong. I've deployed to UAE before, and went from supply to supply to training manager and now to first sergeant.
For those that haven't listened to the entire broadcast today, we're here at Volk Field for a special event called Northern Lightning, a joint training exercise. And as General May pointed out, these are people from all over the country. It takes a lot of folks to make this happen. But give our listeners, our viewers, a little sample. What is each of your roles in this event over the last couple of weeks?
Okay, I'll go first.
Sure.
So being the first sergeant of the base is, I get all the other first sergeants that get together or that are coming from all over for the exercise and get them together so that we can get on the same page of taking care of the airmen while they're here, making sure that they stay, that they're as comfortable as they can be, they're being fed, things are, you know, like they're having fun as well, and that the mission and training is actually getting done and what they need to get done is accomplished. So just having that overall, like, hey, somebody called me today, I need to give airmen a physical training test. Mm. Where do I do that at? So answering those questions, that's mainly my job while going on.
Yeah, Sergeant Franck is a first sergeant is very similar to a like a dean of a school where you kind of you take care of kids or airmen that need something, and they also will kind of guide them if they need any help directionally with discipline.
I like that, help directionally. That's yeah. That's a great way to put it.
All right, for my job specifically is I'm the enlisted coordinator. I also work in a few different other exercises around the country, but Northern Lightning is my main focus. And so I kind of just talk to the listeners what I'm really excited for, and I'm very proud to say I'm part of the Wisconsin Air National Guard because of Northern Lightning, because of our airmen, because everyone works together so well. And Northern Lightning is not a small blip on the radar. It is a massive training exercise. We really are pushing the envelope with fourth and fifth gen fighting. We're doing joint fighting, all these like large terms you hear that the big Air Force and all these other people are trying to get done, we're doing here in our backyard. And I honestly feel honored that I'm able to work for an exercise and do this every single year over and over again to get all these people together. So we're looking at over 50 aircraft on the flight line. We're looking at over 1,100 people here working at the exercise. But then around the country, we still have aircraft flying every single day in. We have like over 130,000 pounds of fuel or offloading in the air via tankers in Milwaukee. So it is a big exercise. Again, I'd say I'd focus most like 60% of my year on making this happen. And then the rest of the year, I work on a similar exercises in a smaller role.
Wow. It's amazing. It takes a lot of people to do this. And in your daily roles, I mean, do you have your own individual teams then that you kind of work with?
We do. So Monday through Friday, I'm a training manager. So that's my focus. So it's kind of neat to bring this together because I have a lot of airmen that are here from different units that are doing their actual on-the-job training. So they're learning how to do their jobs while being engaged in this exercise. So from that perspective, I met one of the an airman in the tower the other day, and she was telling me all about it, and she was excited because they don't have those capabilities back at their home unit. So it's nice to see that all come together, and I love to see that the base is just alive. Like it feels like there's not feels, there are people everywhere. So it's good to see that, you know, people are moving and grooving.
We had, we talked to General May earlier, had some of the folks from the ROTC in Madison. You talked about recruitment. This has to be, can't be a better tool, Kether, to use as recruitment.
No, it's great to see airmen. They go and they learn their job and then they come back and they actually get to work while their aircraft flying super low over the airfield all day. They're working with other components. So we have the Marines across the flight line. Intense. They're seeing that kind of view, perspective, learning of that, and it's crazy how small of a world this is. We can go halfway across the globe and run into the exact same people in 5 years. So it's a really great opportunity to learn, but also meet people, train, do all that stuff.
Now, I'm not sure if you can say this on the air or not. If you can't, that's fine. But are there? You talk about having Marines here. You got Navy here. You got are there games that happen? After things are there tug of wars? Are there eating contests? I mean, is there anything like that going on to prove which branch is the best?
I would say there's definitely a lot of sports. I mean, we have frisbee golf on base that you can see people competitively playing. We have volleyball. We have a lot of bags tossing, and it gets pretty competitive. But it's honestly really friendly. We have a great camaraderie with everyone here. It's pretty easy to get along at Volk Field.
And overall, it's the same mission, right? I mean, it's protecting the country, readiness, and all that. So, I mean, sure, every branch is proud of their branch, but you're all part of the United States military.
I mean,
team one fight.
Right? One team one fight, but man, cheese makes everything go pretty smoothly. I'm telling you, people get off the airplanes and they want to get cheese curds right away, which
you
is so fun.
You bring them on base here until you're ready?
Some people have.
Did you go to the Car Valley down in Boston?
I personally know
Sid Cook, the owner of Car Valley down in Boston, a great guy.
All right.
Small world.
You can't do better than the Car Valley cheese curds.
All right. I'll have to get some bags of those.
Also, the
different beers. So the local beers, right? People from around the country, they come to train and they absolutely love the hospitality and also the friendliness of people. They go out to these different cities, and it's been great to have that support.
Sorry, we're out of time. We had the president was on earlier, so I cut you guys a segment a little short. We appreciate you guys. Appreciate everything you do. Thanks for your service. And thanks for being with us. Thank you, Matt Flynn is next. Tomorrow, back in Madison. Stay tuned.